Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Breaking out old photo albums is almost guaranteed to take you on a journey, and now a new show is promising to do that in places across the country. For the rest of this hour, we're talking with the host and executive producer of a new public television miniseries called Family Pictures USA. They're in town this week meeting people from all walks of life across Southwest Florida as they search for places to hold photo-sharing events, which will be filmed and used as the basis for a Family Pictures television program, as well as radio spots. Their show is like a cross between Antiques Roadshow and StoryCorps. It uses family photo albums to reveal roots and connections and to share with viewers a more nuanced and diverse story of our common history, our shared present, and our evolving future. Thomas Allen Harris is the series creator and host. He's also a critically acclaimed artist who uses film, video, photography, and performance to explore family and identity. He's an accomplished filmmaker and public television producer whose acclaimed documentary Through a Lens Darkly premiered on Independent Lens on PBS in 2015 and was nominated for a National Emmy. Wow. Thomas Allen Harris, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Julie. Glad to be here.
By the way, I had to cut your bio down by about 5 pages. I'm not kidding.
Well, it's multi-purpose. I also teach, so sometimes you need, you know, to include everything.
You do so much. It's just, I'm really impressed. So we're also joined by Don Perry. He's the Family Pictures USA executive producer. Don is the chief executive officer of Digital Diaspora Family Reunion LLC. Don, thank you for coming to town and being on this show.
Thank you very much for having us.
I also had to cut your bio down significantly.
That's because Thomas took all the oxygen. I understand.
No, you had a lot I had to cut out. We're meeting the two driving forces behind the new public television show Family Pictures USA. And if you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we are at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So I'm going to start with the roots of this project. Family Pictures USA is a project of Digital Diaspora Family Reunion LLC. Tell us what that is and how long it's been around and what role you both play in it. I'll let whoever wants to start.
So Digital Diaspora Family Reunion got its start as the community engagement initiative that went with the film that we were making, Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers and the Emergence of a People. Part of the issue with that film, which deals with how African Americans use the camera as a tool for social change, was that we were searching for particular images that would tell the full story or a fuller story of the African American experience in the country. And part of our problem was finding particular images that represented black families. Images that were taken by African Americans as the authors and subjects that were their own representation as opposed to being represented by others that were from outside the community. And because we couldn't find the kinds of images that we were looking for, Thomas was invited to go down to Atlanta as part of a conference, and we told people about our problem looking for and finding certain kinds of images, and we invited people to come the next day to share if they had images. We didn't know what we were getting into, but yeah, if they had images. And people started to come with trunk loads of images of African American families going all the way back to the beginning of photography, all the way forward.
Wow.
And we did it again, and the second time up in Baltimore. And again, the same thing. People came with trunkloads of images. And then we were invited to go to another place, and we did it a second or third time. And then we started to realize, well, maybe we're onto something here.
Yeah.
So Digital Diaspora went around to gather and collect images of black families that would be part of the filmmaking process for Through a Lens Darkly. When Through a Lens Darkly was completed, there were 952 images in it. We had gone through and collected some 15,000 images.
Yeah.
And of the images in the final film, roughly half of them came from this process of going around and collecting archives. When the film was complete and we put it out on Sundance, we used this community-facing gathering tool as a way to inculcate audience and share the movement that had been started in gathering collections, because what we found in the course of going around is that people really enjoyed the process of sharing their photos to perfect strangers and having that amazing community get developed in the auditoriums that we were holding it in. And so everywhere that Through a Lens Darkly went as a film festival, Digital Diaspora was there doing an event. And then after we finished with the circuit of the film festivals, we took it theatrically and we had it in Oscar consideration. And Through a Lens, Digital Diaspora was there, you know, building audience, getting people excited about the idea that, well, gee, even if you're not African American, you're looking at these photographs, you have images in your own family archives that could be like those images. And so we invited that visual dialogue for people to share their stories and to join in the creation of a new family album that all of us could contribute in. So for 7 years, we've been going around the country.
Almost nine now.
Almost nine, right. We've done almost 60 events, live events, in over 45 cities on three continents where people are sharing their photographs and telling their stories. We've interviewed over 2,500 people. We've gathered in excess of 30,000 images from all over.
So this is part of the digital diaspora. So then Family Pictures USA was birthed from that idea. So this is an idea that came about like, well, why don't we put this into a show?
Exactly. And, you know, in some ways, we decided to call this community engagement project Digital Diaspora Family Reunion because even though the film was about African-American families, we were very much aware that, you know, they were also American families. And so we wanted to include all American families. And so I would say while we were touring with the film, about 40% of the images were not African-American. And then increasingly, we've been invited to, like, you know, Asian-American festivals to do a digital diaspora there. And about 2 years ago, we started speaking with the Independent Television Service, which supports independent films, around the TV show. We also had a funder who was interested in helping us or, you know, increase the message of the film. And we thought we could increase the message of our community engagement project, Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. And we thought the best way to do that is to create a TV show. You know, as we went around the country with Digital Diaspora, some people would say to us, oh, I wish you had come here 2 months ago. I just inherited all these images from my great aunt. I threw them out. I didn't know what the value of them was. I didn't even know the people in the boxes, the names, you know, and of the photographs. And so we thought, well, we're at this kind of critical moment where between photography and digital imaging.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that plays into it.
Yeah, well, most people are no longer creating family albums. I mean, I'm wondering,
Don, when you're sitting there and you're handling somebody's actual precious photo, you know, you're there and you're well, have you filmed it, obviously,
yes.
For the film.
Exactly.
But now we're doing the PBS thing.
Yeah.
So when you're picking up someone's tactile, actual, real life picture.
We use white gloves. Have them use white gloves, too.
Does it feel different, though?
Yes, it does. I mean, it feels like, you know, the paper image is, you know, sometimes these images go back 100 years, 150 years. You know, ironically, the old images have a better chance of surviving than the digital images we have on our phones.
Because you take them and you don't look at them again.
Exactly.
And you forget that you took 85 pictures on that trip to Philadelphia.
Exactly. And the difference.
Only 85? I can't get by for less than 200. I mean, when we go on vacation, literally, I've got 1,000 images I'm coming back with. But this is also one of the things that Family Pictures is kind of our mission to do, is for us to rethink all those images that we're taking digitally. We're getting people to revalue the worth of those archived the actual artifact of the photograph. What does that really mean and what does that really represent? And what is the connection between that and what we used to do in terms of putting together those family albums and the endless digital imaging that we're taking every day? And can we get people to look at those digital images and think a little bit broader? They're not just an image of me today or the little thing that caught my eye as I was walking to work or something.
It's kind of like, this is like the anti-Snapchat.
Right.
You know,
right.
It stays there and it's permanent.
And we want people to think about the fact that they're creating an archive of historic significance. If not to them today, then certainly 20 years from now when they want to know, well, what was I doing back then? Or in terms of the culture and the society, these are the kinds of artifacts that when we put them all together, and certainly it's what we do when we have our live events, people begin to see that, well, now I understand who I am, where I am, the place I'm living, the people around me in a much more nuanced and a much fuller way. And it's all because we're taking that little individualized, these are my pictures on my phone, and we're expanding it so that when you put them all together with other people's pictures on other people's phones, now it begins to put together a mosaic of who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm. So we're at the point now where you're getting ready to start filming pilot, the first couple, right?
Exactly.
That we are going to be for the PBS show.
Show, exactly. We did one pilot in Detroit, and this is the second. We're coming here to Southwest Florida to do the second hour-long episode of Family Pictures USA.
I feel kind of honored that you're coming here. This is exciting.
We're really excited. I mean,
so you're here now. What do you think so far of Southwest Florida? Were you surprised? Was it what you thought it was going to be like?
Well, you know, I mean, I didn't really have an image of Southwest Florida. I mean, I think that I've been to Miami many, many times.
Everybody knows Miami, yeah.
But I've never been to Southwest Florida. And thus far, we've been to the History and Science Museum. We've been to the Seminole Reservation. We've been to Roberts Ranch. We've seen so many images that I had never, ever seen before. You know, images that talked about this place as a kind of the Wild West, if you will. You know, the encounter with Native Americans, Indian Americans, first families we've spoken to, you know, in the region, and just understanding about the birth of this place, you know, through Edison and, you know, all these different historical narratives is really exciting. And so we're looking for the story here. What story are we going to tell about Southwest Florida, about Fort Myers? And we're looking for people who, if you have images in your family archives, in your family albums that will help us tell the story, please reach out to us.
So when so have we scheduled when people are going to be able to bring out their pictures and show them to you?
We're not yet at that point of actually making, you know, it will be in October.
Okay.
And then we're pretty much, you know, certain it's going to be then. We're going to be on the ground for a grand total of about 2 weeks. And in that time, we're going to have three public-facing events where people will be able to come and share their photographs. And those public-facing events we call community photo sharing sessions. And what happens during those sessions, it's an all-day thing. We have 15-minute slots, and people sign up for a slot at a particular time. They'll come in with their photographs. They'll meet with one of our producers. We'll kind of go through the images, and we'll pick a selection of them that really have a really interesting either story or narrative or just visually are really exciting. Then we film them. They'll do a 15-minute interview, and then we'll photograph them with their images. They'll almost like perform with their archive. Mm-hmm. And then we'll digitize the images and give them a copy of the digital, you know, the digitized images.
The scanned images.
Right.
Scanned images.
But people can reach out to us before. They could email us images and a story so we know what's happening, and we could create blogs together with WGCU. And so people can reach out to us at info@familypicturesusa.com.
Okay, that's great. So people get like a preemptive strike there, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, and because this is only our first foray down here, and we will be coming back again to do more scouting, and we'll be looking for locations, we'll be looking for stories, we'll be looking for – the other thing that's going to happen in the show is we're going to be looking for characters, people who are just so compelling, that so alive, and whose images and their stories are just so fascinating that it's like – we need to spend a few days with you.
Yeah,
so,
there's some that might want to take you on a
tour,
ride.
Tour,
right?
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Because we're going to be taking those little images, whether it's on their cell phones or the physical artifact, back into the landscape that they came from. So it'll be like, well, it took place. For instance, we were at the Roberts Ranch, and they showed us the bunkhouse that was built on the ranch, and some of the, you know, that's where the ranch hands lived. One gentleman that we met later that afternoon, his dad lived in that bunkhouse. And he's got the photographs. He's got pictures of dad and all that. Or his grandfather, right?
Yes.
Grandfather. Grandfather lived in that. We're going to take him back to the bunkhouse and
It might have been his great-grandfather.
Because the family has been there for so long. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of a situation where we would go back to the bunkhouse with all these old photographs and tell that story. So now it's not just this ramshackle building. It's a living, breathing history that's represented in the flesh and blood and in those images.
But we're also interested in the present day, because images we took yesterday are also our history. And so we're interested in having people show us what Southwest Florida means to them and why it's important to a national audience because it will be broadcast nationally in PBS.
Stories are stories, though, and they cut across all cultures and boundaries.
Exactly.
Because humans are always going to be humans, right?
Exactly.
And if anybody missed that email, we do have that at gulfcoastlive.org. So check that out. Look at today's show, and we will have a link to that email if you're interested in trying to get your story out there ahead of the curve. If you're just joining the show, we're sitting down this hour with Thomas Allen Harris and Don Perry. Thomas is the series creator and host of Family Pictures USA, and Don is its executive producer. They're in town because they're meeting Southwest Floridians and looking for locations to film photo sharing events, which will be used for a television special called Family Pictures USA. It's kind of like a cross between Antiques Roadshow and StoryCorps, and I really love that intersection of personal history and artifacts and antiques. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Thomas Allen Harris, you are a graduate of Harvard College, a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and you've earned numerous awards, including an NAACP Image Award, an African Oscar, as well as Guggenheim, Rockefeller, and United States Artist Fellowships. So you kind of operate at that confluence of intellectual community and entertainment. How do you keep that balance?
I try to get 8 hours of sleep, but it's very rare.
I mean, I can't imagine your mind ever turns off.
Yeah, well, that is very difficult. I actually try to meditate, but I think it's the movement between film and academic kinds of research is the space that I'm really comfortable in. I'm actually teaching at Yale University in the film and media studies as well as African American studies, and I'm very interested in how a people's history gets told. What's amazing about public television is that they have these great stories, let's say like Downton Abbey, but I'm looking for the Downton Abbeys of America. What are our origin stories? What are our big stories? This country is so diverse and has so rich in terms of stories, but we don't get those stories. We don't get to see those stories.
Well, the only stories we're hearing right now are stories about division and anger and people on two completely different sides. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like something like this might help somehow break down? Of course, it's a narrative,
Yeah.
Whether people really are that angry is kind of hard telling because it's just what you happen to see. And like you say, there's the history and then the telling of the history.
Exactly. Well, I think that when you look at these family albums, you see how much we're connected as Americans and how much we've all pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps. For instance, when we did the pilot in Detroit, we had so many stories of women entrepreneurs. People brought in images of their grandmothers, their great-grandmothers. And we don't learn those stories in the history books. I mean, the stories that we think about in terms of women is that, in the 50s, they entered the workplace or the 1940s. But all these amazing stories that are suppressed and that we need to hear about and understand who we are, or stories that intersect between different ethnicities or different races or religions, origin stories of who we are as Americans, how we came to where we are today. So that we have a sense of the history, but in a way that's really personal and passionate, as opposed to the history books, which really just kind of enumerate the presidents and the elected officials
the
and their big, and the landowners. We have, I think that from the maid all the way to the present are important, and they influence and affect each other and affect history and our story.
One of the things that we like to say is that this is not about the bold-faced names. In Family Pictures USA, we are all the boldface names. And each of us is doing things that, whether we may think they're important or not, they connect the dots in terms of the values that are important to us as a people, They help us to understand why things are the way they are. And the thing that's been the most enriching in doing this project is the number of people who in the history of their own families or in their own lives have touched upon, been touched by history with a capital H. My favorite story is the woman who was at one of our events in New York, and there's a photograph of her at 13 years old, and she's got this surprised expression on her face, and her eyes are open in the image, and you know, you're kind of like, well, why does she look that way? She looks funny. And then she tells the story about how she was such a gawky teenager, didn't like her hair that day, didn't like her dress that day, but she had been selected to be the greeter for this congressman who was giving a speech at assembly. And at the moment, just before the picture was taken, that congressman turned around to her and said, "I think you're beautiful." And she has that surprised look. And then we open up the frame to see the total picture, and there she is. And in the front is the congressman who happens to be Adam Clayton Powell. And Adam Clayton Powell was known as an incredibly dashing, debonair, woman-chasing activist. And the fact that he was the one who said, "I think you look beautiful," she said, has stayed with her entire life, and it changed everything. And those little moments, we don't hear about that in terms of the history of Adam Clayton Powell. We certainly don't think of him as this sensitive guy who would see this gawky teenage girl and say, "I think you're beautiful." And the impact on her in terms of changing her life, that's certainly something that a lot of people have those moments of intersections with great people that change everything.
That's such a cool story. I can't wait to see this. sorry, I don't mean to fangirl out, but so we're kind of right now. I'm wondering sociologically if this would have worked 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or even 20 years ago, because we are in a selfie culture right now. There's a certain tinge of exhibitionism that is running mm-hmm. through our culture at this point, and especially younger. The mm-hmm. younger you go, mm-hmm. but. Do you have people that are reluctant maybe to share? I mean, of course, they're coming to you and showing you the picture. But do you find yourself kind of in almost a you're pulling teeth kind of way to get people to tell more about their story, or they just really just want to throw it out there?
Well, I think that people are used to sharing family photographs amongst their inner circle, right? Their family or their friends. But and other people want to tell their story. They want to tell the story of how they're connected to a larger historical event, just like Don Perry had just mentioned. But they when they come to us, they come thinking they're going to tell one story. But when you tell the story of a photograph that you hold dear, you don't realize that your heart has a feeling and has a voice.
Yeah, you can't control that. Sometimes you get going and you're like, start crying.
Yeah. And they tell a story.
And they do.
They tell a secret. They're like, well, this is why this is so important. This is why I have so much pain around this. Or this is why I feel so great when I tell this story, because it moves me so much. And I think that we, in this time period where there's so much selfies and there's also so much bickering, we don't give ourselves enough space to feel. And this is really about feeling intelligence in addition to thinking intelligence.
I also like to think that we are like the bench in the park. That's what we create with family pictures. We create this bench in the park, and all the babushkas come to sit on the bench and pull out their wallets with all the pictures of the grandkids, and they start talking amongst themselves about, oh, this is my grandkid and this is what he's doing. And that's the space that everyone, I think, experiences when they come to one of our events. This sense of community. I mean,
people don't want to leave.
No.
I mean, cousins find each other. When we think about family, we usually think about blood connections. But family members meet other family members and they realize they've been friends for generations. So it opens up the idea of family to extended family, to thinking about ourselves, the family of our neighborhood, the family of our state. And so the stories that people come with and the stories that people learn leave them so enriched.
I'm just sitting here thinking about that park bench. And you don't really see people holding those little, you know, the open their wallet with the little plastic thing with the pictures.
Right.
But I find that I've seen so many people, oh, hey, look at this picture, and they show their smartphone to me. And I don't see that. I don't remember that. But I will always remember if there's somebody that has an actual picture in their hand. And
right.
I'm seeing it being flipped through with a little, you know, the
yes,
plastic.
Right.
It invariably ends up gets stuck on the picture
right.
and you can't get it off without destroying it.
And you can
it.
Never move it. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But again, that's also part of what we're trying to get people to think about. Maybe you should go through that phone and find those really important pictures that are in there and print them out so that they
My
become –
My dad keeps telling me that. Now I'm going to have to.
Right.
Or at least back them up, save them, share them with family and friends in case anything should happen to them. Part of what we're going to be doing with the show is also educating people about how to preserve your archives, because a lot of us don't realize that, you know, if we keep them in the basement, mice can eat your paper photographs, or if you keep them on your computer, you should have a backup on a hard drive in another location. So these are really important, and it's worth thinking about, you know, in a significant way.
And down here in Southwest Florida, we have a lot of things that are ready to eat anything, too. So
well,
I'm sure you've noticed that on your visit.
Right. And there was an article in the paper not too long ago that was talking about the scientists are fearing that we're about to enter a new dark age.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier, but I didn't want to get too, you know, out there.
Right.
But it feels like, you know, we look at the Middle Ages and medieval times and feel like there is no history of that. But there was history there being made and being told.
Right.
But it didn't last.
Exactly. The books were burned.
If our computers fail, then we have nothing.
You drop your cell phone in the wrong place, or you have a lightning strike and it wipes the memory or something.
Or even collectively, even on a larger scale.
Exactly. And this is why this project, one of the elements in it is, let's really think about what we're collecting, what this is. I mean, it may be nice and shiny and new and it's on my cell phone and I can snap 1,000 pictures in the course of a week. But what am I really doing?
But so this means you guys now are sparking a renaissance.
Yes.
Isn't that what came right after?
That's
right.
A renaissance in the movement.
Earlier. You're definitely renaissance men. Well, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you to tell me a story that really stands out. Don, you told me the story of the little gawky girl who got told she was beautiful, which that resonates with, I think, almost every person. Is there a story that stands out to you that you remember that kind of gave you the goosebumps? Or made you cry?
Yeah. I mean, there are a bunch of different stories, and, you know, all of them are really close to me. I think the story of a guy that we met in Detroit, he actually found a whole bunch of images. They were negatives on the street. And he decided to print them up. And he's a scavenger artist. You know, he makes art out of things he finds. And so he printed them up, and he saw that a lot of them were from a temple, Jewish temple, you know. And he then, and a Jewish photographer. And he began to find the people whose family is depicted in these images and reuniting them with their photographs that they thought they had lost forever. And that was, you know, and he was just saying that how – it didn't involve any monetary gain, but it involved a kind of service and a way for him to be of service to these folks. And it was really moving to see that, you know, in this time of kind of division, that someone would go out of their way to do something kind for someone else. And that was just really heartwarming.
That's kind of nice. Those are those kind of stories that you just like to keep, which is why you make a show about it and you put it on PBS for other thoughtful people to enjoy. I'm so glad that Southwest Florida gets to be part of this. You know, it's such a great project. Mm-hmm. And this is – you said, again, it's going to be happening in October we're looking at as
yes,
a target.
Yes, that's when we're going to be shooting.
Right. And I must confess, you know, maybe it's not all so altruistic on our part. It is Florida. We will be – filming in October, then we go up to North Carolina in November. Winter's coming. We have to do the edit. And I think, you know, we could probably do it down here rather than New York.
Yeah, you can do that here. I'm just going to go ahead and say use our facilities. We'd love to have you.
I'm saying, well, I don't want to go through another New York winter like we did last year.
We love our winters here. It's a little hot in the summer, but it's great. We have just a few seconds left, but Don, I have to ask you about this because I understand in your spare time you write Afrofuturist fantasy sci-fi fiction novellas with an irreverent twist on the human condition. When do you get time to do that? And what's it about?
Yes. So it is very difficult to find the time to do all mm-hmm. those things. But it's imagining a future. It's a little bit like when Whoopi Goldberg was invited to be part of Star Trek. And she said, oh, this is so great. She was always a fan of the Star Trek TV show because of Lieutenant Uhura and the fact that seeing a black person in the 23rd century meant that we would survive. To me then, it's like, well, let's imagine a future that comes from a different perspective, a different point of view, an Afrofuturist point of view as opposed to it's not Isaac Asimov. It's not Ray Bradbury. It's not the majority culture. It has a different. So the Dogon people in Africa, we're now discovering or rediscovering that this ancient tribe that goes back thousands and thousands of years knows things about the stars that only recently science has been able to prove. But they've already known it. They've known it forever.
We never hear about that, though.
No, we don't know about the Dogon.
We've heard about the Mayan calendar that was accurate, but we haven't.
So why don't we know about the Dogon, and what do they know, and where did it come from? They, in their own myth, say that they came from the stars. So
I love those historic myths too.
There you go.
Those are rabbit holes that I get into on the internet, and I just have to read all about it. I know exactly. That's really interesting.
So that's the spark.
Are any of them heading for publication?
Actually, we're creating them so that we can turn that into a series. So,
oh, that'll be fun.
And some of Don's work is actually published and it's available
on
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep an eye out for that. Well, that's all the time we have for now. But I want to direct everybody who's listening, if they're interested in getting involved and in finding that email address to pitch your Family Pictures USA story, that is on gulfcoastlive.org. So I want to thank you both for coming in today. It's been really fun talking with you, and I really look forward to this project.
Thank you
so much.
Great talking to you.
Our show today was produced by Mike Kanairi. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.